Let us turn now for our scripture reading to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, commencing reading at the verse 1. This is God's holy word. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to truly receive his word with great profit this evening. This is God's holy word. Come, let us hear together. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be in subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, to whom be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. And may the Lord bless that public reading of his word. Well, dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you earlier in the service this evening, there to 1 Peter and the 5th chapter. And with the Lord's help this evening, I wish to draw your attention and preach upon the verse 8 and the verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, the verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and the verse 9. Many people think that Satan is a myth. Many people think that Satan, if he is, he can do us no harm. Well, the first thing I would have you think about is where we are as a world, I'm saying as the whole world, how we've got to this state where we are right now in light of Satan. Think what Satan has wrought so far. Well, he has so far destroyed so much, hasn't he? We go back to the very place of Eden, that place of paradise where our first parents were, dwelling in harmony, enjoying God, walking with God, talking with God. We read in the cool of the day, having wonderful fellowship with God, living to the glory of God every day. And then actually the first sin took place. Where did it take place? It didn't take place on earth. It took place in heaven. Satan was the first to sin, and he and all of the fallen angels that followed him in his train were cast out. But then Satan came into this perfect world, and he did great destruction, didn't he? There were our parents, Adam and Eve, and he tempted Eve, and he lied about God, and then Eve took of the fruit, and then Adam took as well, disobeying God. And what did God say? Cursed is the ground, Adam, for thy sake. And then Adam, all of his days, he would eat by the sweat of his brow. Thorns and thistles would come from the earth. Destruction. And then that wasn't only it. Death entered, didn't it? What destruction it did. Satan did to Adam and Eve in the garden, how they began to be ashamed and how they ran away from God and how they began to lie. Sin was there in the heart, and sin brought forth death. And the apostle said, sin has spread to all men. This is why all die. And Satan is behind all of that. And much of the evil that goes on in the world is not only there in sinful hearts, but Satan is working wickedness, we read in the Word of God. He's working great wickedness in the world. And even more than that, he has a great enemy, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ. If we think that Satan is harmless, if we paint him as just some caricature, then we're woefully mistaken, aren't we? Satan, we only have to look and see what he has done. He has wrought great destruction. And I'm sure we look at our own lives and we see maybe evil things we've done, things we never thought we would have done. And we wonder sometimes, where did that come from? And I'm saying even before we were saved, we had such tremendously bad thoughts or terribly bad actions. Or you see horrendously wicked and evil things in the world. And we ask the question, how can these things possibly be? Is man capable of this? Well, of course, man has a sinful heart. But remember also that the apostle says that Satan, the prince of the air, worketh in the sons of disobedience. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, he was able to cast out many of the evil minions and evil spirits in men. Satan not only has his enemies, and that is God's church and God's people, but he has his workers, minions. Now, of course, Satan is not omnipresent. And people often say, if Satan is as powerful as he is, how can he tempt people? He can't see everything, but he has his workers. Remember what Paul says in Ephesians. We pray against powers and principalities, forces, evil spirits. And I want to come tonight to this verse here in the verse 8 and the verse 9, where the Apostle Peter is warning us about Satan. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Satan does afflict all the brethren. He will come and he will tempt us, either directly or by evil spirits. We can't explain these things. They are there. We believe them. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of them. Now, let me just say, when you become a Christian, when you are born again, you immediately enter into a war. The day that you are born again, even perhaps before that, Satan, of course, we're enemies of him even before we're born again. But especially when we become a Christian, once we were in darkness, but the moment we are saved by God's grace and brought into the family of God, because of our union in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become his immediate enemy. The time that we are saved, we become his enemy. And that lasts your whole life. It will never end. And we have to be aware of this enemy, the evil one, every moment of every day of our lives. He says here, Peter, be sober, be vigilant, not just sometimes, but at all times. Watch. Now, when we were not saved, when we were not with Christ, we were once in darkness. And actually, the Apostle Paul says we were enemies of God at that time. We didn't obey him. We didn't obey his law. We didn't obey him in any way. We were enmity with God, Romans 8:7, and Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He reconciled us to himself. We didn't make peace with God, but he made peace for us. Indeed, there upon the cross, and in time the Holy Spirit subdued our spirit, drew us to Christ, and we were drawn into the family of God. You hath he quickened. And at that moment in time, we became the enemy of Satan. And we shall be, dear friends, until we leave this earth. And that's the first thing I want to say by introduction this evening. We're enemies of Satan, and we need to reckon with that every day of our lives. And there are dark forces, as the Apostle Paul tells us, evil spirits. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in dark places. Those are our enemies. Now, we know this. There are three main enemies of the Christian. The world, but of course the world is influenced by Satan, is under the power, is under the sway of the wicked one, the world. The flesh, and what the apostle means there is indwelling sin within us, because we're not yet glorified. There's the world and all of its ways, all of its thinking, which really is controlled by the evil one. Then there's, as I said, there's the flesh, our indwelling sin, and then there's the devil, the great arch enemy himself. So those three. And he tells us here in the verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh around as a roaring lion. The Apostle Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord. Peter says here, be sober. But Paul says, be strong in the Lord. This is another way we must be sober in the things of God. Peter uses this expression elsewhere, doesn't he? He says, be sober, gird up the loins of your mind. That is, think rightly. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be carnal in your thinking and in your life. Be strong in the Lord, in the strength that he gives. And we're going to think upon two things here as we come to the verse 8 and 9. We're going to think about the devil, and we're going to think about the ways in which the Lord helps us to deal with our great adversary, the devil. Now let's just come to the verse 8 and put it in its proper context. We're going to come all the way back to verse 5. And it's interesting, we're going to look at some words in James, and you'll see it's almost the same context. The thread that is running through from verse 5 through to the verse 8 is, we could put one word over it, humility. When we are proud, we are prone to the devil's devices. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, you notice the verse 5, God resists the proud. But we are told in the verse 9 that we must resist the devil. So you think about this. The context is this, walking in humility. We are to listen to God. We are to, as the younger here in the church, are to listen to their elders. They are to humble themselves, lest they be tempted, lest they fall into pride. This is the context. God, verse 5, resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, and we are told to resist the devil. One of the things that the devil wants us to do is to think that we are better than we actually are, that we are stronger than we are, that we are wiser than we are, that we know more. The whole context there, the thread running through those verses is humility. Walk in humility. I think in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, there's a little song. He that is humble need fear no fall. It's true, isn't it? He that is humble need fear no fall. If you're looking down, if you're looking low, you're not going to trip, are you? How foolish we are when we have our heads up high, as it were, and we're walking in pride and we think we know it all. We're going to fall. The context running through all of this is listening to God. Listen to those, the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, and so on. So the main thread running through here, and all that Peter has to say by the Holy Spirit, is humility. Put on humility. Now Peter, we must think about Peter. Peter's a man who could speak from experience, couldn't he? Think about the falls of Peter. My, Peter was a very impetuous character, wasn't he? Very proud. A natural leader, of course, but that can come with its pitfalls, can't it? You know, we can be so full of self-confidence. Certainly Peter was a man full of self-confidence. Think of the words there when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. And Peter said, I'll never deny thee, Lord. Remember there at the table? And the Lord Jesus has to rebuke him. Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And then the Lord Jesus Christ had to correct him. Later on we read, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. We thank the Lord, don't we? We have a protector in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter knew what it was to be tempted, and Peter fell with great pride. Peter knew what it was to fall with his self-confidence and pride. Therefore, the lesson in all of this is submit, verse 5, submit ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Of course, these are people that have known God and walked with God. Peter says that he is an elder. He may also be referring to older Christians, or he may just be referring to, he says, indeed, submit to one another. You notice there, not just to the elder, but submit to each other. Maybe we have to listen to somebody younger. And being a Christian, sometimes that's what it means, doesn't it? Sometimes we've overlooked things. And maybe somebody who is much younger than us has seen something we haven't seen. And so therefore, verse 6, humble yourselves. Now the verb there in verse 6, humble yourselves, is in the aos passive voice. It means really receive humility. Where do you receive it from? From God. It's not something we have naturally, is it? This is something we receive from God so we can pray for humility. This is not something Peter had naturally, but this is something that God gives. Humility, meekness. It's all part of the Holy Spirit's gift, the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Humble yourselves. Receive that. Yes, there is. We have to humble ourselves, but it's God that gives true humility. He gives true meekness of heart. We've got to be ready to accept and to understand. And sometimes it's by our own falls that then we're more prone to listen. It's true, isn't it? If we fall enough times, we then listen to other people. And this is really what Peter is saying. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Receive humility under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in due time. God will give grace to his people. This is why he says, he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There's something else you notice. We see not only that, but we see the care that God gives to the humble, the verse 7. Casting all your care upon him. As you are humbled, and as you walk in God's wisdom, listening to him and perhaps listening to others who are wise, you then cast whatever care it is that you have upon him. In the midst of your trial, in the midst of your difficulty. Why? For he careth for you. No harm can come to us if God cares for us. And he doesn't ever want us to be hurt. We have to trust God's ways. But the man who walks high, the man who walks proud, he's very sure to stumble, isn't he? And Satan will see it. He is sure to fall prey to Satan himself. And that's something you and I need to be very aware of. As I said, Peter once did. He knew that himself. And we'll say this, humility leans on God, doesn't it? Humility leans on God. I was preaching at Colnbrook Chapel on the Lord's Day and preaching from Song of Solomon chapter 8 and the verse 5. Who is this that cometh from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? And that's a picture of every Christian coming out of this world, out of the wilderness of this world. This world is a wilderness, isn't it? We're not satisfied with this world. We may try to drink from the world's cisterns and may try to get pleasure from the world, but the world cannot bring us pleasure. Its cisterns mock us. The pleasures of this world, they don't do us any good. And so we've got to walk that straight and narrow path in this world. We've got to walk that narrow road. And we lean upon God. He upholds his people. But pride, what does it do? Pride resists God. And God always resists pride. Always resists pride. He hates especially to see pride in his people. That must be said. Then he will humble us. If we are proud, he will humble us so that we will be humbled, so that we will appreciate him. Peter had to learn this firsthand, didn't he? Think of what happened to Peter. What a wreck he was when the Lord restored him. When Peter denied the Lord, he wept. And then he went back to fishing. And when the Lord saw him, he was naked. You know that story. And he had to jump in the water. He went back to fishing and he was living like a madman. How foolish he was. Let everything go. He lost his dignity. And that's what sin does, doesn't it? You know, we can make such shipwreck of ourselves at times that we think we've blown it all. And I'm sure Peter had thought he'd blown it all. But the Lord is so gracious and he came back and he restored him. How gracious the Lord is. Well, it's interesting here how he says, cast yourselves upon him. And then he tells us to be alert. As we cast upon him, you see how it develops. He then tells us to be vigilant. Now, you'll not be vigilant if you're not casting yourself upon the Lord. If you're not feeling your own weakness, you'll not be vigilant. And it's only God that can help us to be vigilant. We're going to think of, first of all, about Satan. And then we're going to think about, we're going to see three, God willing, three remedies and three ways in which we can resist the devil. Now, if you just turn with me to James chapter 4 and the verse 6 there, I want you to notice something quite striking. We've been seeing here in 1 Peter 5 about God resisting the proud, giving grace to the humble. And it's very interesting, isn't it, how the Holy Spirit, who is the author of both 1 Peter 5 and also here James 4, how we find the exact same context, don't we? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, James 4, 6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, the Holy Spirit uses the same context, doesn't he? This is how we know that this is the Word of God. Nothing else. It's perfectly God's Word. You see, the lesson is this. Have pride, and you fall prey to the devil. It's as simple as that. Have pride, or if pride dwells in your heart and my heart, we fall prey to the devil immediately. Because God resists the proud. They don't walk in his wisdom, and they're certainly never going to have help from God so long as they walk in pride. And God will see to it that they fall. Of course, they won't fall away, but they'll fall. Because God doesn't want us to walk in our own wisdom. But if you walk in humility, you will find the help of God. I know these are very simple and basic lessons, but we do need to be reminded of them, don't we? Because the devil is always around us. And we must always be resisting him. We must learn to see what his devices are. And he's very subtle, very shrewd in the way that he operates. So this evening, I want us to just think very briefly here of a merciless enemy who mocks the people of God. This is what he does. Now, there are two descriptive words describing Satan here in this sentence here in 1 Peter chapter 5, the verse 8. You notice the first word that Peter uses. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Now, the word here, adversary, is the word antidikos, which really means the accuser. That's what he does. I know he's our adversary. We're admitting that. But Peter, he's using a word here, the accuser. Now, why does Peter use this word? Well, first of all, the first thing Satan does is he tempts us, and then he accuses us. He loves to do that. That's what he did with Peter. Tempted him with pride. You remember how the Lord Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift thee? Satan knew. He was hearing the words of Peter. But the Lord Jesus said, after I've prayed for thee, Peter, I've prayed for thee. And afterward, when thou art converted, when thou art turned, thou shalt be restored unto the brethren. When Peter sinned, Satan came and accused him. He wept, didn't he? Remember how he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we sin, what Satan will do is he will accuse us of our sin. And he will say, you see, you're not a Christian. You see, you're foolish. And he will bring us to despair. He will bring us into doubt, even. Is God real? Well, of course he is real. He warned you about this. He warned you that if you went on in your pride and your high-mindedness, you would fall. Now, Satan knows that he cannot destroy us. Satan knows that he cannot separate us from Christ, but he most certainly can bring great harm to us. And what he will do, the first thing he will do is he'll bring us so low, and he'll bring us to despair. And he may even bring us to doubt God and God's love for us. How can God love me if I keep sinning this way? And he will try to make shipwreck of your faith. That's what he'll do. He is the adversary. This is the accuser. This is how he works. And Peter says here, the devil. The word is diabolos, which means destroyer. That's the Greek. And that's really what he does. The root meaning of the word is to separate, to destroy. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to ultimately destroy, to separate us from God. He wants to also destroy the image of God that is in us. What he hates most of all is the image of God. He hates God. We read in Isaiah 14 about Satan, who said, I shall ascend. I shall be as the Most High. And he hated that. He hated that he was not as high as God. He was, we read, a beautiful angel. And he hates God. He hates to see the image of God in man. And so what he'll do is he'll not only destroy our relationship with God, but he will hate to see any semblance of God in us, any likeness of God in us. Of course, sin mocks us, doesn't it? Sin always makes us less of a person. When we lie, or we're unkind, or something like that, it makes us less like God, doesn't it? It degrades us. It degenerates us. Just think of how sin makes you less of a person. It makes you more ignoble, doesn't it? It ridicules you. It mocks you. That's what sin does. And Satan loves that. He's a real enemy. Well, Satan is real. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of him many times. Remember how he spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer. Literally a destroyer from the beginning. He destroyed our first parents. He told them lies about God. God doesn't want you to be like him. He knows that day you eat of that fruit, you'll be like him. Of course, he was telling lies, accusing God from the beginning, accusing God of wrong things from the very beginning. Well, he is a liar. And a destroyer, said the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews. He's always been a liar, and he's constantly tempting, and he constantly wants us to not be like God and not to have any witness in this world. And he will use our pride to destroy us. That's what he'll do. Because you see, so long as we're walking in humility, we're walking safely, aren't we? But the minute we start to walk in pride, we're in the danger zone, because we're saying, I don't need God, I don't need the wisdom of His Word, and I don't need the wisdom of others. I don't need to listen. I'm self-sufficient. That's how Satan was. He was basically saying, I shall be as the Most High. I don't need God. And really, that's what we're saying. But we don't have God, and we don't have His helps, and we don't listen to His Word. And He will certainly try to hinder us. Remember how He tried to hinder the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Paul had to write to the Thessalonians and say, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Now, I don't believe that Paul was hindered in sin, but Satan tried to do all that he could to stop the purposes of God in the church. He is a real adversary. Be sober, therefore, verse 8, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The word there, katapino, means literally to swallow down, to consume. That's what he wants to do. He wants to consume your life. He wants to weigh you down. Of course, Satan cannot destroy us. We are safe if we're in Christ, aren't we? But he will want to try to consume us. That's the imagery that Peter uses, to devour. Like a lion just devouring its prey. But you notice, whom he may. Well, he may not devour us, but if he can get any way in, he will. He'll do as much damage as he can. He is able to harm. He's not able to take us away from Christ. None can snatch us from Christ's hand or the Father's hand, but he is able to cause considerable damage to us as Christians. And we've got to be very, very careful. And the church is full of casualties, really. We know of many people that have made shipwreck of their faith because they've been tempted with pride, they've been tempted with money, they've been tempted with covetousness, they've been tempted with position, they've been tempted with all sorts of things. And at the base root of all of that is pride, isn't it? Pride is saying, I deserve better. I should have better. I should be more highly thought of. I should be listened to. I deserve this, I deserve that. Now again, as I say, Satan, he's not omniscient. He can't read the mind, but his work is observation, surveillance. And we've got to be very careful. Now, let's seek to try to draw to a close now as we move very quickly. I'm mindful that the time is passing by very quickly. We thought of Peter's temptation. We think just very briefly about David. Remember David, how when David numbered the people, we're told that Satan moved David to number the people of Israel. Something, isn't it? In pride. Well, I think I'll just number the people. And we know that the Lord was grieved at this. And there was a great plague that came all over Israel because of that. And we know this, that God is just and he must chasten his children. And we know this, that the scriptures tell us in Revelation, don't they? Revelation 12, 17, that the dragon was wroth with a woman, that's the church, and shall make war with the remnant of her seed, they which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Christ. He's not only an enemy, just directly to our souls, and he will use pride against us, but what he will also do, he's particularly going to be at war with those who obey God. That's another area Satan will come and he'll attack. If we are being faithful, not just if we're being unfaithful, but they that keep the commandments of God. And we're told there in that same chapter that the devil has come down with great wrath because he knoweth that he has but a short time. He has a very short time. So let's be aware of that. And time is moving on at a pace. So firstly, a merciless enemy. But secondly, tonight, and very briefly, in the remaining time that we have, there are three here, three commands, three imperatives, which God's people ought to heed as our defense. The first is be sober. Notice he says, be sober. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. Be sober, first of all, sobriety. This is the opposite of being inebriated or being intoxicated, I suppose. We're not thinking here about alcohol, but just be of a sober mind. Understand who you are. As I misunderstand who I am, what am I? I'm ignorant in of myself, and I'm so prone to pride as an individual, aren't I? We all are. And you've got to be sober about that. Peter's saying, understand who you are. Not only understand who the devil is, but understand who you are. He is very subtle. In chapter 1, verse 13, he says there, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, he's saying the same thing there. Be sober in your mind. The loins were like clothes that men wore. He says, bind them up. Bind up your mind. Think soberly. Think soberly about yourself. We have a false sense. I'm sure the world does. The world has a false sense about itself. And we too can have a false sense about ourselves. We can be self-deceived, can't we? Very self-deceived. I know I can be. I'm sure you can be. We were once deceived by Satan. We didn't realize it. When we're in the world, Paul says to the Ephesians, he said, we once walked after the course of this world. We didn't even know it. And you know, we can be as Christians, and sometimes we can be of the wrong spirit. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to James and John, ye know not what spirit you're of. And sometimes you and I can be of a wrong spirit, can't we? So we've got to be so careful. We can think that we're stronger than we really are. We can think that we're right when we're wrong. We can think we know more than we do. We think maybe even we're above most temptations. Oh, that I could never do that. I could never do this. I could never do that. Peter says, be sober. Just understand who you are. You're a feeble man. You're a feeble woman. Satan, like he did to Peter, is able to think that you're able, he'll convince you that you're able to withstand all these things. I'll never do this. Never speak like that. We've got to be very careful. There are those that think that they will never be tempted by money, by covetousness. Paul has to write to Timothy and he has to say, there are those, warn them that are rich, lest they fall into temptation and a snare. There are those who have fallen into many foolish and hurtful lusts, he says, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That happened. It happens, doesn't it, to Christians we know? There are so many temptations. We have to watch. We have to pray. Be vigilant, secondly. The first is be sober. Notice, be vigilant. Have a sober mind, first of all. Second is, be vigilant. We think of a vigil, keeping watch. Not only understand, perceive what you're capable of, but watch out. Watch out that you are at no point going to fall to that. Be on a constant and consistent watching over your soul. Many people slip away, don't they? They know these things. This is why the Word of God has to be preached over and over again. It's by the Word that we are kept, isn't it? And so we need a constant reading of the Word. I've seen many good men fall. I've seen many Christians fall away. We've got to put Christ first. Be vigilant. It's all or nothing for Christ, isn't it? Put Him first. That's the answer, isn't it? If we are not putting Christ first, we're putting something else first in life. And we've got to constantly be putting Christ at number. You see, if we put Him first, other things will take care of themselves. That old illustration we've used with the glass jar and the rocks and the sand and the water. What do? You put the important things in first. You put the big rocks in, then you put the sand in, then you put the water. If we get the priorities right, we won't fall. Put God first. Be vigilant. Be sure to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, last of all, I'll be very brief with this. We are short of time, I don't know where it's gone tonight. He says here, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You see, with all these things, we've then got to resist. And in the resisting, we, of course, we're praying, aren't we? Pray, humble yourself. Pray, keep resisting. And here's another way you resist, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's just not only you, is it? There are others that are going through the same trials. And that causes us to not only pray for ourselves, but to pray for others. How we need to pray for others. How the Lord Jesus prayed for Peter. How we need to pray for other people. You know, I think when we get to heaven, and only till then, we'll realize how many people actually prayed for us. That'll be humbling, won't it? To realize how many prayers were offered up for us. Of course, ultimately, there's one who ever prays for us, as he prayed for Peter. And so we've got to resist in prayer. We've got to resist by the reading of the word. Keep resisting him. You can resist him. This tells us, you know, there are many people who say, you know, Satan's too strong. Of course he is too strong. Well, we're not told to bind him up, as some people say, you know, bind up Satan. No, we are to resist him. James says the same thing. If we resist him, he will flee from us. We can resist him. But it's only as we humble ourselves, isn't it? Only as we draw near to God. Only as we're not in pride. We all need to hear this. I need to hear it. Because he is a real enemy. Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy individuals. And he will have us fall. But God will hold us up if we draw near to him. How did the Lord Jesus Christ resist? Well, remember when he was taken up into the wilderness by the Spirit and tempted of the devil? All those times, what did he say? It is written. It is written. Whenever the devil tempted him with something, he said, it is written. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to remember the word of God and resist him with the word and with prayer and with all supplication and ask others to pray for us. It's important we do. And we can and we should resist him. Resist him, notice there, steadfast in the faith. Standing in the faith, literally. Trusting in Christ. Our faith is not in ourselves, is it? It's in Christ. Believing Christ's word, trusting Christ's word, not trusting our own understanding. Resist steadfast in the faith. How terrible it was. I mentioned David earlier in 1 Chronicles 21, the verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Friends, pride is always there, isn't it? And we've got to watch against pride. We've got to watch against all kinds of forms of pride. It takes many different forms. Resist pride. Resist any temptation to have any confidence in yourself. Paul says, we are of the circumcision. We worship God in the Spirit, have no confidence in the flesh, and glory in Christ Jesus. Those are the three things. Worship God in the Spirit. Have no confidence in the flesh, but glory in Christ Jesus. Are we doing that? Well, if we do that, we'll be safe. The psalmist says, hold thou me up, and I'll be safe, and I shall be safe. We're not safe on our own, are we? Resist him. He can be resisted, but let us humble ourselves. Whatever our cares are, cast them upon God. Somebody's getting underneath your skin, pray to God. Don't be given over to envy, jealousy, pride, any of those things. Whatever difficulty you've got, doesn't matter. Whatever sin it is, take it to God. If you're struggling with a particular sin, take it to God. He cares for you. He cares not only for your physical needs, but especially your spiritual needs. Take it to God. If you're struggling with something, God knows all about it. You're not going to tell him something he doesn't know. Tell him. And the Lord will give you grace. May the Lord give us all grace. Stand fast in that faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting on the whole armor of God, praying always in the Holy Spirit, and you will be able to withstand him in the evil day. Withstand the devil. James says, he giveth more grace. Wherefore God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, may the Lord help us, friends, with all of these things. Amen.